We're glad you're here.
Don't review your nut the stuff. Let's approve it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready?
I think so.
There she is.
Big crowd.
Okay, we're calling the Public Works Board to order. Established quorum.
Tom Weller.
Linda Johnston.
Russ Smith.
Wayne Barth.
We have a quorum. Wayne, would you lead us?
It would be my honor. All rise. Hand over to heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Has everybody had a chance to read over the minutes from our last meeting? Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So be it. Now we go on to update on wastewater expansion and improvement projects.
Yeah, that's been the theme lately this last year, is trying to acquire the funding for the projects that we've been talking about. Item number five you're going to see. We're just going to do a little brief overview. I know some of you probably have seen this because we've had it up at council already in the past sessions, but I wanted to make sure you guys got a good look at it and an understanding of what we've accepted and what we're still trying to lock down, which isn't much. Our packages are looking very well right now for this project. So let's take a look at that. Our estimated project costs are still anticipated to be right around $25 million for water and sewer. If you remember, we did a one-stop last June 2016 with the Salem and had all these funders and agencies talking to us about what they could do for these projects. And we were pretty optimistic at that time that we could get some serious grant money, but you never know how things shake out with different applications. And we had quite a bit of applications in the hopper we were trying to pursue. And if you look at page number two, it's going to show you those applications and their current status. Each one is going to have a water wastewater. It's going to be water or it's going to be wastewater, WW or W. Obviously, you've heard about wastewater. We accepted the IFA CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant, of $1.1955 million. That'll be going towards the design portion of the wastewater project. You see on the bottom, the water funds, city funds budgeted, 851, that's going to be going towards the design work for the water side. We're going to fund our own design for that project in lieu with the wastewater design. We're going to design them both at the same time. That's our goal. We're going to have that RFQ open hopefully in the next month to try to get an engineer on to design those projects. That's our goal.
That's going to be both wastewater and water.
Yeah, they'll be two separate because there's a funding agency for wastewater, right, and we're going to fund our own, but we're going to get them both done at the same time, ideally. That's our goal.
So it won't be designed in-house, it will
be part
contract.
Right, yes.
Well, it has to be engineered, and we don't have an engineer.
We have an engineer in record, but that's a little bit out of his spectrum. Yeah. This is a big project. USDA for wastewater We've got a loan about $6,200,000 and accepted a grant. We're still in the process, but it's looking very promising. We're pretty much a shoo-in for $2,500,000 for grant loan forgiveness for wastewater, USDA. We're looking at the wastewater CWSRF, Clean Water State Revolving Fund. That's the long acronym. It's on the intended use plan. You're going to see we're ranked 10 out of 25 applicants. They fully intend to fund all those projects, but it's not for sure yet. These are state funds, so it's not a shoo-in, but it would be another $500,000 for loan and $500,000 in grant.
That's state funding?
State.
Could be, Harry.
And then obviously we would finance out the rest, the remainder, in the $7,300,000. And that would be through DEQ, basically, Clean Water State Revolving Fund. That would be our finance department for that. I believe their interest rate, Corey, is 1%. Is that what we're looking at for that loan, for DEQ?
The state funds, I think, were 1%.
1%.
The USDA funds were 2%.
2%, yeah.
But the USDA loans were 40-year loans at 2%. And that's $7,332,000 over in the far right-hand column, that's that interim financing. So what USDA likes their partners to do is to go and find interim financing, get the project rolling, and then USDA will buy out the loan from the interim financer, and then you'll pay USDA over the life of the loan, the repayment. Yeah. So
that's typical for USDA.
Yes.
They won't do it any other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we know who we're going to for those loans yet?
No. That'll probably be at least a year out when we're getting those big loan amounts are for the construction financing.
Right.
And so we're at least a year out from that, year and a half out from that.
My only concern is trying to get them locked in as soon as possible.
I had a phone call from someone at Washington Federal. We'll talk with different interim financers. To figure out that, but there will be people lined up to provide that service. Yeah, we'll be good on that. The critical element was that we got the bonding authority to be able to take out those loans, and that was a 60-day period that passed a couple weeks ago. So the city now has the authority to go out and take $15 million. We're not going to take quite that much, hopefully, but up to $15 million in loans.
So we are bonded now?
We are bonded. We have bonding authority to do that for revenue bonds.
Right.
That we'll pay back through the service fees we collect. Yeah.
So a little bit down the water, we've been talking about wastewater. You'll see IFA, State Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. We were awarded a little over $1 million in loan and $950,000 in grant for that. USDA has awarded us $5,286,000 with $2,500,000 in grant. And you're going to see at the bottom, we budgeted $851,000. A lot of that's going towards the design work for these projects. Any questions about the applications? You're going to see a lot of awarded and there were in process and budgeted on there. So most of these are pretty much for sure locked in, quite a few of them.
I can just step back several months. We had EPA and DEQ in here, and they were pushing really hard as to when we were going to have all of this completed, and we agreed to a five-year time frame. Is this allowing us to set that time frame back? I mean, we talked about 5 years is not a realistic number, but we don't have any other outside influences that are pushing us on this.
No.
First time. Okay. Good.
No, and they're just happy. They understand and are happy to see that we're going through the process. I mean, they recognize that it takes years to line up a project of this scale, given the size of our budget as well. So they know that we're moving forward in earnest to get it done.
So 5 years was more of an appeasement than...
Oh, I think that certain regulatory agencies like to throw around ultimatums, and they realize, I think, a lot of times too, that if they want something to happen, they need to come to the table and help. And that's what we're getting, and that's why we're moving forward with the project.
So they were arm twisting at the time and said, if you go beyond this, then we will take over the project, and then, you know, which was...
Well, what they were doing was, that was when they were going after every bay, was replacing sewers or any place salt out here inside the city, or their septic systems.
Yeah.
They said, you know, we could make you go to this super high loop thing, pay an extra $20,000 a whack.
So on the side,
we really don't want to do that.
So in terms of DEQ and coordination at this point, they're letting us just move forward and take care of it.
Excellent.
And then what we are going to coordinate with them on, and Jake and I are going to meet with Bob Baggett, he's like the DEQ rep for this area, and then who's the county environmental soils guy. We're gonna meet with them later this month and talk about the areas of town that are still on private septics. Because what happens in the next couple of years or few years before those folks are hooked up to our systems, if they need to put in a new system? It doesn't make sense for them to put in a system that has a lifespan of 20 years if they're only going to be on that system for 2 years where they connect to us. So we're at that point where we can say that this project is imminent. It's going to happen. It's not us wishing anymore. We've accepted funds to move forward.
Thank you.
So if you turn on the page 3, it's going to give you a table of all those loans and grants kind of piled together for a total. You're going to see grants, we're receiving almost $8.4 million in grants, which was pretty ideal. It was nice seeing that on paper. That helps a lot. You're going to see that we're going to start looking at some water and sewer rates, what we're going to anticipate charging for the whole system, and these really come into play when you start getting that kind of grant money. City's going to contribute 2.4 out of city funds. And we're going to take anticipated loan amount of 13.7 million. Any questions on that?
That's million, not billion.
Billion.
This isn't federal.
No, we're not talking. Or Brazilians, no, none of those.
Peruvian.
None of that.
It's the, it's a fence we throw around, that B thing.
No, like that.
T number.
Too many zeros.
Yeah. So down at the bottom, it's going to show you the rate packages we're looking at right now with these current grant packages and loans and city contributions. Water, existing rates currently is around $38.26 for a residential user. The current funding package that we anticipate rolling out would be $47.06. If we look at the anticipated rate increases 2018 without any of these projects going through with what we've currently adopted, would be $40.58 for water. Wastewater, this is existing rates as of 2016, because we're all playing with those numbers. That's the numbers we've really put out in earnest for a lot of these loan packages. Looking at $34.58 in 2016 for sewer. Current funding package for sewer would be $36 with all these grants and loans and city contributions. And with the 2018 rates, we anticipate with our adopted budget $41.83. So you can see sewer came in pretty good with these rate packages. Look at the bottom, combined water, wastewater, existing rates 2016, $72.84. Current funding package, $83.06. And if we don't do anything, we just use our adopted rate structure. 2018, $82.41. So the numbers are looking good.
So do you anticipate changing the rates in 2018?
I anticipate changing the rates when these projects get completed, yes. I anticipate we'll just keep going with our adopted rate structure, is what I think we anticipate. And then we can adopt a new system as that goes into effect, I suppose.
Yeah, but what is going to be the rate next year?
Right now, 2018, for sewer, $41.83.
That includes the...
I mean, for everything, it'd be 82.41, right?
Yes.
Water and sewer.
This water and sewer.
Based on an average residential user.
If we go through this whole financing thing, it would go up to 83.06.
That's what we anticipate.
That's what we anticipate that we would need to charge to pay our debt service on the loans. Yeah.
And this is includes the grandfathering, all the pre-existing residences and things.
Yeah.
Do you have a charge for the construction?
If someone comes in after the fact and hooks up to our system after we lay our sewer and water lines in, does new development, they're gonna pay a SDC charge for water and sewer. There will be hookup fees for those developments.
Do we have a deadline on this as to when a surcharge would be added? When new construction is out of the picture?
Well, once we break ground on the projects, anybody that has a single family home and an existing septic system will be hooked up to our
that
system.
That will be grandfathered in at that time, right?
You can use basically that term, yeah. They won't be charged SDC.
Yeah. So after that, for new construction, they're going to get...
If you've got a bare SDC lot and our system is put in and you develop after that, you have to pay to hook up to our system.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So as long as you've got a line available at the time.
Yes.
When you put the new one in, you're okay.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Is that SDC charge, if it's just a bare lot and there's not a cement septic on it now, and I sell it, are they going to have to pay more than that $7,500 SDC roughly? Because they're going to have a cement or a concrete holding tank.
Right. So SDC is around, let's say 2019, 2020. We'll just project out that far. They're going to go up to over $10,000 for water and sewer. That's already been adopted. That's set in place. It'll start changing January 1st, 2018.
If it's an empty lot, I think what she was saying, if it's an empty lot, is the city going to put in the holding tank?
No, they'll have to do that infrastructure upgrade for themselves. Because we won't just put a bare tank there if there's nothing for it to hook up to. They'll have to put that in themselves. It'll be part of their costs. It'll be considered an SDC, but it'll be part of their cost for construction.
And I think I heard Linda mentioning as well that it's a good point, and we will continue to make this clear that folks is rates who are on the city system right now, this is the increase we're talking about. Obviously the folks who aren't hooked up to the system are going from zero to that number, but the existing ratepayers will see an increase as well.
Right.
Not as drastic, because you're not going from zero to 82 or whatever that number ends up being. This is not a final number, but based on the information we have now, which is a lot better than the information we had a year ago, it's going to be in that, I'm not going to say 83, I'm going to say mid-80s number when all the dust settles. But at the same time, this is an expansion project and an improvements project. So it goes hand in hand for us to get where we need to
be. I think it might be safer to say it's below 90.
Yeah, we're going to know a lot more after we do the design and engineering.
I prefer hedge statements.
We started at under 100, so right, we're moving in the right direction.
We saved you $10 already.
Yeah. Well, and it does depend too. You know, are you a family of four doing lots of laundry and showers, or are you single and you don't have a garden, you don't irrigate, you don't have a private, you do have a private well, all that, all those factors will tweak your bill. So right, it will depend. This is us just trying to capture, on average, a residential.
Mm-hmm. If you're in a proposed area for sewer, and it's new construction. Does the county still tell you what kind of a septic or what kind of system?
Currently, yes. Currently, but we're going to have that discussion into the month about how we can move forward with these areas that we anticipate putting sewer through. And we realize there's going to be probably new construction in that time frame until that's completed. I really don't want to make feel comfortable, DEQ probably doesn't either, about making them put a $20,000 system in when we know a sewer line's going to come up their street.
Right.
But they want to build right now, so they have to do something in the meantime. What does that something entail?
It's kind of like a waiver. You're getting waiver. To the final point of coming up with some kind of a waiver.
Right. And they've done those before in the past, and yes. Recently they did one in Crescent, and it took Crescent a while to get the funds lined up. And so DEQ is very, you know, they want to make sure that this project's going to go through before they make a waiver idea. And we're going to have that discussion. It sounds like we're getting to that point where we could really discuss a waiver
good.
Technique.
And they also don't like people putting in the old metal tanks for 250 gallons on the backyard or
right,
50 gallon drum.
It'll be a 1,000 gallon minimum concrete tank.
They just touchy about that.
It'll be the drain field that's going to do the big. You know, discussion. What's their drain field going to entail in the meantime, basically? That's where the big costs are associated. Sand filter with an ATT filter, or is it going to be a standard? Because standard drain field is going to save them quite a bit of money.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, if it's some elaborate thing, then
right.
There's no benefit to going in early.
No.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Oh, by the way, are you part of the city?
Within the boundaries of the city limits, they don't reckon we're just at, we're the black hole.
I wish you could get on the city streets.
We're the non-existing liability that the city has.
Well, you're not alone, Wayne. There's many of you out there.
Well, if we could just unite
like
20
or something like that.
If we could just.
So is the city contribution portion of this, is it already in savings, or is this
reserves and SDCs?
Reserves?
Yeah.
We kind of went back and forth with them. We started low, obviously, because we wanted to try to hold on to more money, but you can only hold on to so much when you got projects like this that you're really investing a lot of your time, and they're investing a lot of their money. So this is the number we've come up with. And kind of helped us grab some more grants too.
And those numbers, that city contribution could go up. I mean, we don't have, combined between our two reserve funds, we're probably at like $3.5 million. So they're leaving us with $1 million between those two funds. They don't want to clean us completely out. So depending on, again, how all the cards fall, and you know, say we got $500,000 less in loan financing and we want to try to buy down the amount that we have to debt service, we could increase those, you know, a couple years from now, the city's contribution. But right now we're penciled in at that number, and we're good with that, yeah.
So is the reserve fund growing right now?
The reserve fund only grows when we transfer in funds from our enterprise funds, from our water and sewer funds. So if we have an increase in revenues in either the water sewer fund or the streets fund, we generally will transfer some of that, and we've been doing that for years because we knew that we had to build up a nice nest egg to do this scale of projects. The one we're seeing an increase in that's directly tied to development is the SDC fund, which those funds are stickier. They can only be spent on expansion of system capacity, but we're seeing that increase with new developments, residential, commercial.
We can use both reserve and SDCs, but we can only use a percentage of the SDCs because only a percentage of these projects pertain to new growth in the system, what they can buy into, not can't be existing. It has to be new additions to the system that would benefit them.
But isn't another well site and another?
Absolutely. Yep. But a percentage of that well site is to existing growth, and some of it is to new growth.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
We've had fun and we've
ratio.
Learned a lot in this process.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, please. Yeah. We're getting there. We're going to try to shoot for an open house in October is what our goal is. We're going to get an RFQ open for design and engineering, try to get an engineer firm on to help design these projects. That's probably going to take around 9 months or so for them to be out in the field and coming up with numbers and how the system is going to lay out. But that's our next step.
When do we have the RFQ for that?
We hope to roll out in a month.
In a month, yeah, early September would be our goal. Leave that open for a few weeks, maybe have a contractor on board by, you know, middle of October. Realistically, could be sooner.
We entertaining right now for engineering firms?
Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of folks are interested in these projects. And so we're going to, in our RFP, we'll have a scoring breakdown and we'll go through that process and see who comes out the other end. So we don't have to go with a low bid. What we're doing is basically we will want them to submit their qualifications for doing projects of this scale and type. And then we'll go through and score them and probably do a round of interviews and then enter contract negotiations on contract amount and see if we can come to terms on that. Yeah. So there's quite a few. All the major engineering firms in Central Oregon, even ones out of Portland or regionally, are, when I say regionally, I mean Pacific Northwest, are reaching out on this. Yeah.
There's probably about $2 million in project engineering right now for this project?
At least in the engineering phase of it, and then right. If you even consider the construction administration portion, you're
exactly.
Probably looking at maybe even twice that. I've heard a rule of thumb is, you know, 10% for engineering, which if you're at about $25 million on the projects, you're over two on the engineering, and then maybe another 10% that could be high on construction admin.
Because ideally we want the firm that we decided to design these projects to be there with us when we construct these projects too.
That's beneficial in a lot of areas.
We don't want to go out and do another RFQ for constructing, just have our engineer for construction, probably.
Most of the time when you get a second one in,
that's when you get problems.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do this right. They didn't do it, and you.
Or they missed something that the other guys had set in place.
That can be really.
No, we're going to write the RFP so that we have the ability to direct hire, directly contract with the engineering firm that designs. So we won't have to go back out for an RFP for that.
So good. How are you creating the RFP? Are you?
We've got some examples that we're working off of similar projects, and then we'll just be working with our legal counsel on some of the ins and outs of the Oregon revised statutes that we have to follow. In terms of public contracting, we'll have to follow. Because, yeah, I don't know, is Mid-State Electric, are you guys subject to all those public contracting rules?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you guys can go hire whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want, pretty much.
But I worked for the city of Springfield for
okay.
18 years, so that...
You know a bit about that, yeah.
It was really hard not to go with low bid.
For the construction.
And sometimes you got what you paid for.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, that well, we've experienced that firsthand with the Wikia lift station. Yeah.
Yes.
And so we're keenly aware of that fund. But with the professional services, it's different in the sense, you know, if we're hiring an engineer or a law firm or other professional services, consulting services, we can go with an RFP and hire them based on their qualifications. When we get to the construction part of bidding the project, there's ways to sidestep it a little. You can write in certain requirements, but you're right. You need to protect.
There's a lot going into when you get to the actually bidding it out and being able to evaluate the contractors who are bidding on it.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah, that will be a whole other process, the construction bidding, yeah.
And so I encourage you to look at that ahead of time as part of the RFP for evaluating your engineering firm to what other projects they have that, you know, I mean, being able to write the RFP for the construction.
Right.
Yeah, what were the results that they got based on the contractor that was selected based on the RFP that they helped write?
Yeah, what kind of protections can they write into the contract for construction?
Yeah, that's good advice, I agree.
point?
Big projects.
Big projects.
A lot of money tied up in that.
Oh, yeah.
The state can be very costly.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No whoopsies allowed.
No. Yeah.
A whoopsies can't be ignored. It's just how you recover from them, how you limit the liabilities.
Well, exactly. And a $25 million project for the city of Springfield would be a big project, even though that's a fraction of their budget. But for us, our annual budget this year is $11 million. So it's
there's only a certain amount of construction outfits that can really gear themselves up for this type of project, too. We're not talking about little...
That's a good point.
Little excavation outfit out of Monmouth that we had before.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big-scale project, some big contractors.
That's a really good point.
They need to have a good track record or they won't be doing business.
I was involved in the safety portion of that Springfield project. That was, just from that aspect, was pretty scary at that.
How was the engineering on that?
You were? Oh, the engineering? No, I don't talk about that.
Oh, okay.
No, that was...
I only dealt with power, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the funding and grants and anything pertaining to the project?
That's really good.
GIS.
Sure.
Did you want a motion on this?
No.
Okay.
That's not voting.
Just to get you up to date.
Thank you.
Yeah. GIS, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Just wanted to bring it, I budgeted for it for this fiscal year and been approached now to start rolling this project out. And not much has changed. I got the opportunity to meet with Mid-State and some of their GIS representatives to see how their system works and some of the what they like and dislike about what they have, their platform. And thank you, Tom, for letting set that up for me.
No problem.
I think it's going to be a nice asset for the city moving forward, especially with these big projects starting to roll out and having something set in place that we can actually use and function with out in the field, knowing where our assets are and different elements we want to see out in the field. Like, for example, this system, you can interact with it with your tablet out in the field, and if you're trying to find a septic tank that just got put in or has been there for 10 years, you could click on that symbol on your screen and it has a drop-down menu that tells you it's a 2,000-gallon tank, it's a 1,000-gallon tank. This is the type of filter that's in it. This is the last time this tank was serviced.
Wow.
And this is a location. You can make a document in there. You take a picture, snap a picture, and load it in there. You can click on it. It brings up a picture of that tank in the field, which is really helpful for field workers trying to figure out where stuff is.
Yeah.
Because face it, we're not getting smaller. We're getting bigger. We're getting more stuff out in the field that we're trying to keep track of.
With the same or less people.
With the same or less people, right?
Do we have that specific... that already available?
We are acquiring it as we go along. But
that's huge.
It is huge. That's why I want to get this in place and start dumping this data in as we collect it out in the field. Because currently we really don't do much with the data that we get out in the field. We have it on record somewhere, but we're not using it to its full potential.
Huh.
And I fortunately got to experience that type of data when I was in City Bend, clicking on different things and seeing what it was serviced last, and it really helps you develop a preventative maintenance program when you have that data available to use. I'm sure Tom could attest to that.
That would expedite a lot of things.
Or just how to manipulate a main line. You want to shut down something, you got a something, the lift station goes down, okay, what are we going to need to shut down? And you can look at your map and highlight valves on there that you need to shut and send the crew out, okay, you need to shut these valves, this is where they're at. And there's all kinds of stuff you can do. This is exciting for an operator, I'll tell you that.
Really helpful to have that information readily available.
Yes.
This is also a hook into all the lift stations, so you know whether they're operating or not? Or
this isn't telemetry, but it's going to be a good step towards, using it with telemetry.
How much and when?
$9,000.
I think I budgeted over 10 because that was what we originally thought it would cost. I think what we got budgeted now is 9,000. Where is it?
604.
The yearly subscription has gone down since we made agreements with them, and how many different users you can put on that can access it, do different changes in there. So they make you pay per person, which we don't have a lot, so we save some money on that end. And I anticipate starting this summer, start integrating it, working with the tech support and teaching us how to use it.
Our computers are theirs.
What's that?
Our computers are theirs.
They'll come down here.
Okay, so we have our own computer system down here.
Yep, but we don't have a lot, we don't have tablets or anything like that yet. We'll work that in as we go, but we're just going to get a good base set up, and then I'll have their suggestions on what type of stuff we want for the field. So you might see me talking about that in the future, trying to acquire a tablet or two for use out in the field, or a laptop, or whatever it may be.
iPad.
Okay.
Yep.
He makes a motion.
Let's wait till we get our server in.
Yeah. Wait till you get it set up. But, you know, the LCC does have a GIS program.
Mm-hmm.
And you might look at summer internships for GIS students.
Yeah, they come over here and get their feet wet and kind of kill two birds with one stone, and we get the help that's needed, and they get some good field experience for a pretty good rate for us.
Right.
Okay.
And who supervises that to make sure all going well? You do?
I would, yes.
In a spare time.
I get next year's vacation.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's his last fish he's going after.
Well, this will create a lot of work, but it'll save a lot of work on the outcome end of it.
Yeah. That.
But, you know, I mean, it creates a lot of work for us, but I'm excited about it because it's really helpful.
One suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Don't customize anything.
Okay.
If you do, 2 years from now, you're going to pay twice as much for it.
Right.
The nice thing about ArcGIS is it's very configurable.
Yeah. It allows you to customize, basically. Use it how you want to use it.
But anything that you customize using their program and software remains. So as they upgrade the software, it just integrates. It's when you start interfacing those programs with other programs that you're going to run into a lot of issues.
Right.
Or if you're upgrading and you don't bother to tell them about it.
Right. But
customizing stupid things.
The internal customization of what's available in this program, it'll remain. So as they upgrade it, you're building a database that just flows right into the next software version. So
what database are they using on that data?
Well, it'll use just about anything from Excel to SQL to any database program. But I don't know what
they're. The reason why I ask, I used to work for Oracle.
Oracle integrates with it.
And if it does, then it's a good database.
This is one of the leading several
five
database
companies that have gone out of business, so you may want to think about that sometime.
Well, the parameters of this program are large enough to accommodate a variety of things as you move on.
Mm-hmm.
As the city changes, it'll be able to adopt all that.
This is taking basically AutoCAD on steroids. It's a very good program.
Yeah.
We don't have a mapping system of our own.
Yeah.
Really at all.
It's what the county uses. It's what almost all the utilities use. Okay. Is ArcGIS. So.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have a nice platform for us that we could use.
That's not the city of Springfield, however.
Any questions about it? Just wanted to run it by you one more time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. I'd like next update on first the 90-something.
Sure. Let's look at some pictures. Obviously, we're pretty much complete with that First Street and 97th Streetscape pedestrian improvements. We added a few new elements to that project. We did some pavers, and we landscaped that big swale on 97. We decided not to use a sod approach, more of a bunch grass and native seed and wildflowers and conifers and a little bit of maples, stuff like that. So let's look at some pictures. Obviously, that's the main theme right there. You're going to see sod along the frontage of the health center right there. You'll see a 5-foot concrete and then a 3-foot paver pattern. You see a new light pole got installed. They're basically 98% done. There's a few checklist items we're still getting them complete, but overall they're pretty much completed. That was a dangerous photo for me, but I got it taken. So you can see now we got, the continuity of both sides of the street. They kind of mirror each other, and it's looking real nice.
How many feet wide are the sidewalks there?
8 foot.
8 foot.
Yep. 5 foot concrete, and then 3 foot pavers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the beginning of the swale on 97. Did some tree wells. We put some landscaped flowers and different brushes and stuff in there, bushes. See some conifers, a blue spruce. Jake's getting artistic with his photography. Got some big boulders in place up there too.
Yeah, I'm jealous of those trees you put in. Those were huge trees.
Yeah, we got some nice stuff on this project. That's it. And I don't know if you guys seen the new benches that got put in with the garbage. I don't know if I showed you these pictures before, but I tossed them in. And we actually landscaped that portion ourselves. We did just a little basic approach, some bunch of grasses and some rock. And they're getting used quite heavily. The garbage cans are about weekly. We have to, at least one of them, we have to empty out weekly.
Excellent.
Yep.
What can we do with that transformer in the back?
I was saying, boy, that's very artistic.
Symmetrically, it looks good. But
I did get Mid-State's blessing before I did some of these improvements because I didn't want to inhibit them from working on that transformer. Mm-hmm. But this is what I'm looking to do. I'm going to pour a pad right here. We did our own concrete work right there, and those are all our own installations.
Can we paint it the same color as the bench and the
transformer? Sure, I can paint it whatever color you want.
Right in.
But that's basically the First Street 97. Well, which kind of brings us to our next topic. This is last week, me, Corey, and our engineer on record, and a design specialist that helped us design First Street. We're looking at finishing the west side at 97 with ODOT. So we're trying to get that idea or concept completed because they're going to be putting out their project for bid this November. So we want to include that in the bid package possibly. That landscape element. Whether we decide to have ODOT, their contractor, do it or not, just depends on how well they bid it. And if we like what we see, we'll have them complete all of it at once. As you can remember on the last projects, they just did the hardscape elements, then we came in and landscaped it on First Street. We want that option to be available on the west side. And so we want to try to have those documents ready. So right now we're thinking, we walked through the project, we're thinking less sod throughout the rest of town for the maintenance approach. And if you can see on the north end, the swale depths are pretty significant. Now part of that is because we put sod in there, and water doesn't penetrate through sod as easy as it does through natural soils or rock or other types of substrate. So they designed those swales even deeper. The problem is, on this side of town, is we have a 12-inch water main running upside that town. So when you get excessive swale depths, it really limits cover on your water main. That's been a big topic. We've had two discussions with ODOT in meetings in the last month, sitting down and talking about what we could do to remedy, those really deep swale depths. And we've come up with some different options. One of them is not using as much sod, maybe more bunch grasses and incorporating the sod, but not as much. and trying to just shallow up those swales. So I was just wondering on some of your guys' ideas on how we want that to look on the west side.
But I think if you go with bunch grass, you have a whole lot less mowing to do.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think it's also very much easier to take care of bunch grass around here than anything else that we've got.
And if you look at the west side, there's a lot of driveways and accesses to different businesses, so it's going to be broken up as you go through. And have a big, you know, it looks nice as you're coming into town. You see the sod along First Street there by ODOT. Not much is breaking up those sequences, right? But when you start getting into town, it's going to start breaking up.
Yeah.
And the more sod, you know, full sod approaches, the more harder it is for a landscaper to maintain, I think. So I think a scaled down version of what we got, incorporating some of the same elements. We're talking about incorporating some more rock features and bunch grasses and stuff like that.
I like the rock idea. I like the bunch grass because we are the high desert.
Yes.
We are not the golf course.
Right. I mean, it looks nice. I think you got sod on both ends of town now coming in.
Out here to
we're not supposed to be the
golf course.
Yeah.
You know, right.
That's very aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
And it matches the environment. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'll see a few more conifers and blue spruces incorporated too. And we're still going to keep the theme of those maples along the street too. And we are going to incorporate conduits for flags to go up all the way up 97 flagpoles for when we do our Veterans and Memorial Day and those events.
I want to tell you, we got a lot of compliments on the 4th of July, people coming down of all the flags we put out.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact we don't have any music or marching bands or anything, they loved all the flags down here. They
right.
just said it really was like a small American little town and city here.
I've gotten a lot of compliments too. People like moving, wanting to move here saying, this is a very veteran-friendly community.
Yes.
And we appreciate that. I said, absolutely. We are.
That's been such a plus for so many of us that they appreciate their attitude.
Right.
And you don't have to go very far
to get
into an area that doesn't appreciate
right.
that much. So this is a wonderful little haven for veterans.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking at doing a monument sign here at City Hall. I've been talking about that a lot. If any of you have been to City Hall meetings recently, council meetings, we're looking to roll that out as well. As a big, you know, a big monument piece right here with our trademark new symbol and a nice flagpole setup as well. Three flags, not just one flag, but three flags. You know, we got some really neat ideas for that.
How you guys feel about the new Veteran Memorial Garden?
I like it.
That turned out pretty good with all the flags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the bricks that are going to be in there.
Yep.
I think that'll really complement that area too.
I think so. Any questions about the streetscape? Now, it might be that we do it all together with ODOT, that it gets completed. We toss money in there that we've already budgeted for the streetscape. Or if we don't like the bid package that gets presented, we can pull it out and contract it out ourselves. But we'll have to wait for them to complete their portions of
last time curve. We had a special grant that we were using.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get that type of grant again, we may have to break off ODOT again.
Might have to. Last time that we tried to do it that, it was put in as a change order. And usually when a contractor sees a change order, he doesn't always give it the best price. So that's why we decided to pull it. It wasn't put in there in the preliminary, the bid documents. So we want this ready for the bid documents so they can actually look at it and go, oh, that's going to be $500,000 for landscaping.
So you have a budget, post-budget for this?
We do.
How much? How does that compare with what you had on First Street in 97?
It is definitely more landscaping than that. I think we anticipate, I'd have to look at the numbers, but I think it's around $300,000 is what we budgeted. But I'm thinking off the top of my head right now. And they threw some numbers at ODOT did that we would need to contribute for what they were looking at improvements for landscaping. I think there was around 250 to 300, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But we definitely have budgeted the money for it.
So ODOT isn't paying the whole amount that they were allocated to do that.
They aren't paying for the landscaping. They pay for the sidewalk that's going down through because they have to, according to law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't have to make it look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to us. And they have worked with us very nicely on that. They've got restrictions on them too.
So this whole thing of we're going to do the whole west side and we're going to give you all this money had...
Well, they are giving us a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the hardscapes is a big
but
element.
It's not going
the
to
pretty
make
part.
It look so, pretty.
It's not the whole kit and caboodle.
They're going to have to contribute some to... That's why I said bunch grass is cheap and summer runs.
It does look really nice too.
Yeah. And we're in the high desert. Why not?
We don't have to continually maintain it. They have better things to do than go around. They're going to have to use the push mower.
Or we just have to contract out landscaping like we've kind of done.
That's, once a year they cut it down.
Yeah, they go through and trim it.
Yeah.
There'll be some sod in there, no doubt, but there's not going to be as much. It'll be like over 50% less is what we're thinking.
Good.
Is that it?
Next.
That's
it. Other issues and concerns?
I don't have any.
I'd like an introduction to your...
Yeah, I was going to... You bet. Reed Campbell's our new employee. He started... When did you start, Reed?
3 weeks ago.
And let me tell you, he's fit into the crew quite well. He's brought some experience working on sanitary sewer up in Oregon Water Wonderland, and we greatly appreciate him being on our crew. It's been a good fit.
Welcome.
So are you're native of this area?
Born and raised.
Relation to Alan?
Alan, no.
Nope.
Okay.
But it's been good. It's nice having the full crew again, and we're starting to tackle stuff, and it's been fun. I think he feels pretty comfortable here. He jokes around with me quite a bit, as I joke around with him. And he's already on the on-call rotation, too, with us, which really helps the team out. Not many people would get on call within a month of being here. So that speaks a lot. We trust him and rely on him, and that speaks volumes.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty safe.
Yeah, you go from being on call every other week to every third week now. That makes a big difference.
Yes.
With your family life and stuff like that.
As I said before, this is kind of an elite group that you're joining and that very special to see.
Yeah, you do a good job. I guess one other thing. Water wastewater expansion, what is your current timeline for construction,
so
build out?
With the CDBG fund, the grant we accepted for wastewater, for design, you have 2 years to start construction for the wastewater side. So it kind of gives you an idea when we would have to start construction. So let's say this takes 9 months to design and engineer it. Let's call it a year. Let's say sometime towards the end of 2018, we complete the design and engineer, then we'd have 2 years to begin construction. No, the longer you wait in this game, the more price goes up on stuff. So I would anticipate after we design and engineer, there's not going to be a big window on a time frame to begin construction.
Yeah. Are we going to be looking at the new well before
I imagine those elements are some of the first things that get built just because everything kind of has to run. Obviously the water system has to start there on that end of town, so that kind of those elements would be constructed first.
So you're anticipating engineering 2018,
yep.
Bidding
2019
and construction 2020 through
2022. That's the kind of look at it right now, but It could go quicker. And say it's very feasible that in 2 years from now, construction could be starting. We could be breaking ground on it.
Wastewater dump.
Septic receiving station. Yeah, it's an interesting topic because that is part of this project. So we were talking about, we budgeted to pull it out ahead of time. But now that we know that these projects are rolling through and they're going to design these projects in the next 9 months or year, that's going to be designed as part of the project. So, you know, these funders don't want to see us pull stuff out really quick because now they're invested in this. They see it as part of the master plan and these improvements that they are funding. So for us to pull it out real quick would make them nervous. So we're going to wait for them to design it. And once it's designed, then we're probably going to try to pull it out quicker and say, hey, we want this portion of the project completed quicker than the rest. And they may say, well, you know, you may have to fund that yourself, which is fine, because that, all that looks like is contribution towards the overall project, which we said, you know, we will contribute this amount, and we could use that amount from that total for that septic receiving station. Yeah, it might push it back a little bit now, but I think it's the right thing to do, because it overalls the effects of how everything's designed on the wastewater side. Yeah. Just knowing that it's going to get completed, I think, is a breath of fresh air for all of us. It's one of those things, when I first started here back in 2009, that someday we're going to get a new septic receiving station, by golly. And it looked pretty dim. That light looked pretty dim there for a while, but that light's starting to get brighter now. And it's going to happen, but might have to wait another year for it.
Go ahead.
It had been mentioned a while back about somebody mentioned maybe we ought to have a set speed limit for neighborhoods.
Sure.
I think that's a really good idea because my neighborhood has none. And you put the blinky lights out, and it was good for about 24 to 48 hours, then it got to be a game.
Right.
They've gun it by that and then shoot by.
Oh, man.
And the thing is, especially on Preble and some of these streets and even William Foss, especially on parts of Preble, the kids are walking and adults in the middle of the street in the wintertime, in the middle of the snow, they can't get off. There are no sidewalks. And right. Then we've got the ice berms. And it's really bad, and they seem to think it's a racetrack, and they do. Unfortunately, a lot of our employees that work up Finley Butte, you know, they're anxious to get home at night. Scott's Logging and other places up there, and they're barreling home at 5 and 5:30 at night down Finley Butte. And William Foss is a raceway to get to the business park up here, where you're working on autos and you've got the towing people. And,
sure.
And they love to gun, and they waited that stop sign that was missing over the weekend, mm-hmm. and they're gunning, and they're just waiting for their opportunity to go across the two lanes of traffic.
Right.
So, I don't know what the answer is, but I know that the sheriffs could certainly make a lot of money if they just do some stings.
Well, I'll talk with the county on it and see what we can do about reducing speed limits, because ultimately they have jurisdiction
they
over
do.
Most of those roads that you had mentioned.
And the county owns Preble. I mean, it is. You're right, they're all county.
They're pretty, you know, they listen to our suggestions because they want us to take over those roads. So.
Well, and I'm worried about the little kids. Not everybody's parents stand out there and watch them on Finley Butte when the buses are coming, and those are kindergarten kids.
Any other concerns?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, anybody else? We need a tour of the facilities.
I was just going to bring that up after you guys are talking.
Yes, right now, I'm the only person that's ever been out there, I think.
Yeah. My suggestion was, September would be a good month.
September
would be a good month, and I'd like to do one or two people at a time, just so I can, I think it's easier to explain things instead of having a bunch of rigs following each other, because a lot of times when I'm driving along certain areas, I'm describing the system you're passing or what's underneath you. And two people would be perfect, because I can take two people on my work truck. And you guys could call Holly and try to schedule something next month that works for your schedule. I'll be glad to take an hour or two out of a day and take a couple of you around and show you our system, and then give you an idea how the new system is going to work too.
Cool.
I think would be part of it. See the existing system, some of the improvements that are needed, and then some of the expansion areas. You guys game for that?
That would be wonderful.
I think we can work that on.
Okay.
And we'll just call Holly and schedule your time.
And I'll say no. You don't want your schedule? Correct.
At least 3 hours.
Any more on the new construction down Grafton Road?
We haven't discussed it in a while, though. But I did see that in the old minutes, and it brought it to my attention again. Oh, wait, Grafton, that's right. There's a lot of potential development coming to the table right now. Not a lot, but there's some.
So.
Anything going on in the business park or the industrial park? No. It's never been...
BioGreen's kind of back at the table again.
Oh, good.
And BioGreen is very heavily back at the table, according to last
maybe
city meeting.
Maybe. You never know with them, right?
But they were going to list with a commercial broker, which I think is a very, very good idea. But nobody that is on MLS, it's not coming up.
Right.
So none of the realtors in anywhere in Deschutes County know what we've got down here, unless there are a few commercials that come down here. And
right.
And next time they have one down here, they need to have a meeting out there at the business. They need to be out there and stand there and look at what you've got and the views and the mountains,
yeah,
and the lakes.
The city and the EDCO have been working with Mandala, the people who help with our branding initiative.
Okay.
They're making a video of industrial and commercial land out there.
But when you have all those commercial realtors come, mm-hmm, from all over that were there at the group.
Right.
You need to stand them out there.
Right, you got to showcase the town. This video does a nice job. You've seen it, Holly. And I don't know if I could play it right now, but I didn't think about it. But it's a nice video they're going to be putting out there for potential buyers.
It's not the same as standing there.
No, it's not.
And visualizing. It's just like showing a house.
Right.
We've got drones that do beautiful jobs now.
Right.
It's not the same as standing in that foyer of that house or in your front yard and saying, oh, my God, look at this view.
But hopefully it gets them to that point, okay, so they want to come down here,
yeah,
and realize that.
I'm saying it's a good first step, but those commercial brokers, next time you have luncheon or something down here, need to go out there and walk and see what you've got. And then, I mean, they could read it, but they're not going to pick up until they look up, oh, here's a train track.
Right.
You know, they just... Mm-hmm. They need to be out there.
Anything else coming up? Solar eclipse is coming soon. Stay at your homes.
Yes.
Anticipating any impact here?
No, the path of totality misses us by quite a bit. But, you know, the highway's going to be really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taking care of a lot of sewer maintenance on some of the bigger users in town. All your motels and stuff are making sure we're keeping up on, just in case there's potential there to have some, you know, potential problems. So we're making sure that our maintenance is up to date on all the motels in town and the high-end users that could see a real big influx during that time frame. Stuff like that. The highway is crazy. Before and after. Because you got to travel to get to those spots, and we're a good vein of traffic right through.
If you're going to Costco, it'd be good to go with this week.
We'll be working that day, all of us.
Yeah. I got to go to bed, so we'll be sitting at midstate too. Just one other thing. When I don't know whether it's now or between now and the time that the engineering's complete, just sitting down with midstate and going over the plans probably be nice to have that done before the end of October. But you're not constructing for 2 years, but
right. No, I think after we hire an engineer, to that project, maybe we all sit down together and talk about some potential ideas for that. And we could do it right now, but it'd be nice to have that engineer firm in the room too.
Perfect.
And that's going to be October.
Okay. Public comments? No public? No comments. Staff comments?
Good meeting.
Any other comments?
Of course, you guys are always welcome to email me or call me if you have anything afterwards. Don't hesitate. I'm pretty easily approachable.
I'm really happy with the way you answer your phone, too. I mean, I've called you and you, boom, it's the man. He actually answers.
Like, he does.
That's good.
He does.
The guys wish that would happen.
I was impressed. Use a different phone. She's calling. You know you'll never get it.
It's very rare that I don't answer.
Anyway.
Unless I'm fishing.
No other comments? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion
to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
We're adjourned.
Good
excellent.
Job.
Good job. Good job. I like it. Go right ahead. Good job.
Oh, it's so hard to go up to him.
Good job, Holly.